Section 4.
You will hear a lecturer talk about dugout canoes.
First, you will have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good morning, students. Today, we're going to continue our examination of Indigenous cultures, looking at some of the common threads that bind them together, interestingly, often across continents. And today, we'll be looking at a specific form of water transport, namely dugouts. Canoes, or sometimes what are known as log boats, that is, a boat constructed mainly from a single log. It is interesting to note that archaeological evidence of man-made boats dates back to more than 10,000 years ago, and yet, in places of Thailand and Myanmar, some local tribes still construct traditional dugout canoes and use them today for transport, commercial operations such as transporting merchandise and fishing and hunting. So, what is a dugout canoe? Well, as described earlier, a dugout canoe or log boat is exactly as its name implies. A canoe dug out from a carefully selected log to suit the purposes of its intent. The construction of the dugout is remarkably similar when examining the different cultures. The first criterion is to choose a tree, soon to become a log of the appropriate size and dimensions. Depending on the continent and environment, different types of trees or wood were selected through the years and the development of the dugout, and the different strengths and durabilities were known to the locals, often according to the density of the wood. Once the correct length was decided, the log was then shaped with pointed ends to help with propulsion through the water and to reduce friction at the rear, and the log was stripped of branches and bark. It was important during the construction to ensure that enough wood was taken from the log to ensure that the canoe would be light enough in weight and buoyancy, but would still be robust and strong enough to hold the sailors and any cargo they might be carrying. One interesting feature that has been noted that a number of Indigenous cultures have developed was the use of an outrigger, that is, a log that is fixed parallel to the main hull by long, often curved poles, and in some cases, two outriggers were affixed, one on each side, thus increasing stability and allowing for deep sea voyages of some distances, sometimes reaching up to 500 kilometers. Now, let's take a look at some particular dugouts specific to some cultures. Perhaps the oldest known dugout is known as the Pessy canoe, which was discovered in the Netherlands and has been carbon dated to more than 8,000 years BC. Just trying a different version on that pronunciation in case I'm wrong. Perhaps the oldest known dugout is known as the Pess canoe, which was discovered in the Netherlands and has been carbon dated to more than 8,000 years BC. Other European dugouts have been uncovered in Germany dating back more than 7,000 years, and one was 12 meters in length, which makes it the longest old European dugout. A dugout located in Ireland in 1902 was measured at over 15 meters and dated back some 4,000 years. and was one of the first to have a series of holes in a pattern, which indicated that it may have been one of the first to incorporate an outrigger design. In Africa, in particular Nigeria, evidence shows that the oldest known vessel is an 8,000-year-old dugout known as the Defuna canoe, which is also recognized as the third oldest in the world. African dugouts were used for transport across the deep lakes and up and down rivers and across swamps. Teak, a native hardwood, was the most common wood used for the construction of dugouts, and because much of Africa was colonized by the French, the word pirogue is the local term for dugout canoe. In North America, most of the ocean-going dugout canoe activity was centered in the Pacific Northwest, that is, British Columbia in Canada on the West Coast, and Washington State in the United States. The famous birch bark canoe of the North American Indian was only for inland lake and river travel, but the Pacific Northwest dugouts were hollowed out of huge cedar and fir logs, often decorated with carvings and indigenous designs, perhaps originating from their famous totem pole construction. The Indian tribes constructed large ocean-going canoes, sometimes up to 20 meters in length, carrying up to 60 or 70 paddlers and traveling long distances. In 1978, an anthropology crew in Canada made the nearly 7,500-kilometer crossing from Canada to Hawaii in a constructed dugout canoe to prove that earlier ocean-going tribes were capable of such a crossing. In New Zealand and the South Pacific Islands, the indigenous people were well known for the construction of their deep-sea crafts, known in New Zealand as waka, with their distinctive outriggers for stability and increased steering. Like the North American craft, the New Zealand waka was further developed by extending the basic canoe with the addition of other parts, lashed and tied together with a rope fashioned from the native flax plant. As well, dugout canoes from Hawaii and the South Pacific were noted for their additional features, the main one being a sail which aided in propulsion. The basic dugout canoe has had a wide-ranging impact on indigenous culture. As mentioned earlier, the canoes served as a primary means of transport, both domestically and in some cultures, crossing oceans and seas to explore, settle, or even combat with different groups. As well, basic forms of sustenance such as hunting and fishing were facilitated with the dugout canoe, and as trading emerged, commerce was given a boost as the larger dugouts were able to move merchandise and goods great distances and...
That is the end of the listening test. In the real IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.